Welcome to the Amazing Grace Talk podcast. Conversations that explore how God has pursued those he has made in his image. My wife and host, Erica C. Meyer Williamson, is on a journey to meet everyday people who have experienced a radical encounter with the divine presence of unconditional love. These are the stories that remind us why God's grace is amazing.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to my podcast. My name is Erica, and I'm so glad you stopped by. It is my hope that through the amazing testimonies you will hear on this show will plant a seed in your heart and ignite your dreams all for God's glory. Through much prayer and listening to God's direction, I actually retired from a 30-year career in 2020 to spend more time doing just that, helping women find clarity, overcome struggles, and discover their true calling. In 2016, I launched the Amazing Grace Retreats in the beautiful Black Hills of South Dakota. Started this podcast in September of last year, and in the spring, I will finish my autobiography, a book that shares my struggles and victories to prove that anyone can live in God's amazing grace for those who believe in Him. I can't wait to see you at the next retreat. On today's show on Amazing Grace Talk, we have a friend of mine here. Her name is Donna Banks Smith. And welcome to the show, Donna.
Thank you, Erica. Nice to be here.
Yeah. Now, you've known my mom and dad for many years. My mom sings, and you guys used to, I know your husband used to love to come see her sing.
He loved her. Loves her.
Would she play down at, Oak Cliff, too? And
yeah, and at the Italian restaurant.
Oh, yeah.
In DeSoto.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Awesome. So I know she always used to love it. Yeah. That he loved to come. But I went to school with your sister, Julie, and she's a couple of years younger. And you and I have just known each other and played tennis together as well. So we've been friends a long time. Why I asked Donna to come on the show today is, you know, I noticed a little bit of, I didn't see you anymore. I didn't see you on the tennis court. You guys moved from here. So, of course, we didn't see you regularly, you know, for dinner and things like we used to. You know, I knew there was a little, I don't know. I knew something was going on, and I didn't really know what it was. But I would love for you to share with us just some things that have been going on in your life. I know there's been a big transition. And tell us a little bit about what it looks like, that transition. Like, what happened in your life?
Well, I think what happened was living in the DeSoto-Duncanville area my whole life was great. Had a lot of friends, a lot of fun. And we just decided to pick up and move to Fort Worth. So I'm going to say the last 3 years was a struggle. Mm-hmm. Just no friends, different atmosphere, different life. Mm-hmm. I don't know. It was just different. So I really, really started drinking a lot.
Okay. Were you drinking more than usual?
Yeah, I was.
Kind of trying to find your way and friendships and things?
Actually, I think just boredom. I'm in the healthcare industry. I work in nursing homes. Okay. So it's very, very, I'm going to say depressing.
Okay.
Because you see so much in the healthcare industry with geriatrics.
Yeah.
A lot of them don't have families. They sit and they just deteriorate to nothing. Oh. And their minds are gone, their wisdom, their happiness. And I see a lot of that. So I would meet up with friends, mm-hmm. and we'd, you know, have cocktails as normal, mm-hmm. but I would continue. Mm-hmm. They would all go home, and then I would just meet up with the next group.
Yeah.
And continue to drink.
Right.
Until, you know, 9, 10, 10 o'clock.
On a work night.
On a work night.
And you just thought, you just didn't really think much about it.
No, it was fun.
Yeah. You're like, I'm having fun, I'm laughing, I'm not.
But my problem was, is I quit doing everything else besides working. I would just drink. Really? I quit tennis. I quit working out.
And how long was that going on until you noticed that you needed to do something different?
Probably the last 3 years. Yeah, when we moved.
Okay.
And like I said, I didn't think I had a problem.
Mm-hmm.
I knew it wasn't normal
mm-hmm.
to just stop is what you're supposed to do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, go have some fun, have, you know, with your friends and then stop.
Mm-hmm.
But I would go home and open up another bottle of wine and get in the pool and hang out. And before I know it, it's 11 o'clock at night and I got to get up and go to work the next day.
Get up and go to work. And then, like you were saying, the other day when we were talking about it, you said, you know, you would kind of wake up with a hangover and then, you know, feel bad and you'd be tired all day, right? And
then
you'd just be thinking all day, when can I go home and get in my bed?
Exactly.
So what would you do? Just take a night off and then
back on the next day.
And how long did that continue before you realized something's just, I can't do this anymore?
Well, I got pneumonia really bad and was on IV antibiotics. So I went 2 weeks without drinking. So I knew it was an addiction for the alcohol. My addiction was for the social life of it. So it's been 18 months.
Wow. Now, how did you go about stopping?
I just stopped.
That's a miracle, really.
Yeah. 20-something years ago, I smoked cigarettes and I just stopped.
Just stopped. Made a decision.
Yeah. So I know in my heart I'm a strong person. But there's some struggles.
Yeah. During the time that you stopped drinking, was God anywhere in your life?
No.
Like, you, did you believe in God?
Yeah.
You believed that there was a God somewhere, but not a relationship, right. not thinking that he was your savior and that he could help you in any way, right?
Right.
It was just kind of all on you to be strong.
Yeah. And then I would, you know, I would pray and then I would maybe watch some stuff on TV, you know, picking up a sermon or here and there, but nothing consistent.
Yeah.
It was definitely nothing consistent. I'm going to say it's probably been maybe the last 3 or 4 months that I've really dug deep. Yeah.
Now, what was that turning point?
It all changed when the pneumonia hit me.
Okay.
My chemical imbalance, metabolism, just my body shifted. And I was just struggling. And I'm like, I can't keep living like this. Yeah. Something. I need help.
Yeah.
I started just praying.
Okay.
Yeah. You know, before, you know, when you're not really a Christian, you're just like, oh, Lord, please don't let this happen to me.
When you're scared.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you never pray when you're good. But I've been so depressed for, you know, after the pneumonia that I thought, there's got to be something that can help me.
Yeah. So,
I've never believed in depression. I've had a wonderful, wonderful life.
Yeah.
And I never understood when people were depressed. I'm like, just get up out of the bed. Well, now I know. You can't just get up out of the bed.
Yeah. When you're in that place, it can be tough.
And you get up anyway and you put on your face and nobody has a clue what you're going through.
Yeah.
And then you talk to people and they're like, oh, well, I'm on antidepressants or I'm on this. I'm like, I don't want to be on that.
Yeah.
I don't need another vice.
You wanted to, yeah.
I don't need another. And people are like, oh, well, if you quit drinking, just have a couple of drinks. Or, oh, well, and I'm going to say this on air, well, do some gummy bears or smoke some pot. And I'm like, no.
Yeah.
I'm going to live a sober life.
Yeah.
I don't need another addiction.
Yeah.
So I feel good that I've done this on my own until now.
Yeah.
I'm going to say in the last 3 or 4 months, I'm not as depressed since I've been praying and reading and journaling and, you know.
Now, how did you know to start journaling? How did that come about?
I think just a couple of people are like, do you journal? I'm like, no, I'm not deep. I'm not a deep person. I think that's why I never reached out to God. It's just.
Why do you think you're not a very deep person?
Because I just would just live life and just go.
But there's so
much. Never think about anything.
But there's so much joy in going deep.
Yeah.
Figuring out, like, when God convicts us of things, just means he brings it to our attention. And then when we pray for that and move forward in that, where he can fix and change us, he does that.
Yeah.
You know, that there's so much joy in that. So go deep.
Yeah, it's scary.
Don't be scared to go deep.
It's very scary to go deep because you don't know what you're going to get. If you're not with somebody that is a Christian and helps you learn.
Yeah.
There's so much doubt still because the world's so messed up.
Yeah.
That it's like, if God was really here, why do the little kids have cancer? Why did this happen? Why did that happen? And then you dig deep and you're kind of more miserable than you were before you dug deep because you never had to understand yourself. Does that make sense?
Yeah. So as you take those baby steps to go deep and to learn, you're going to be covered in peace? You really will. Yeah. I mean, God will be there for you each step of the way, as slow or as fast as you want to go. And it seems like you just have, you know, dove into his word.
Well, I'm so OCD, Erica, that, I mean, I got on myself for not journaling correctly. So
yeah, don't do
let
that.
Let me tell you, I'm like, oh no, I should have done it this way. Oh, I forgot to do it this. And then I go back because I'm so OCD that I need to learn how to just relax and take it and start surrounding myself with people like you who know the Lord and can help me through it.
Yeah. Something I would do is just start saying, instead of saying I am OCD, just say, God, thank you for breaking that bondage toward in my life, and just speaking that you're, don't speak that you are.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's just one thing that I would do that would help, because being in, that's like a bondage.
Yeah.
You know, because it, you're probably noticing that it's maybe putting a stop to some things, right? I mean, where does it interfere in your life if you're OCD?
Yeah, I think getting very overwhelmed.
That's what, yeah.
I'm very overwhelmed with learning the Christiania part. Mm-hmm. I'm new, and like I said, I'm on my own doing it. Mm-hmm. I don't really, I have that one group that I had told you about that we meet once a month, but it's a short group. We have lunch and just kind of discuss a couple of things, but trying to figure it out myself and then doubting and then getting so overwhelmed that I don't practice it for a couple of days because I'm so overwhelmed.
Well, and I would just say, you know, continuing to seek, whether, have you found a home church? Like, do you go to?
I haven't yet. You know, with pandemic,
I know we've
it's
had
just
that.
Really kind of hard. I've been watching the Joyce Meyer show
She's
quite
great.
A bit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
People love her, though, because she's so real.
And you can understand it.
You can understand it. And it's not speaking, you know, in, over your head that you don't understand. So that is why, I mean, listening to that. But I would encourage you, even if you have to go visit several places, find a place that you can plug into at church. I mean, that's just going to help you with your spiritual growth.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, we only stopped going to church for a couple of, I don't even know, a couple, not very long. And then we've been on back ever since at our church. But that would definitely, you know, be something that would help you. I mean, everything that you're doing is amazing, but you want to be able to have more of a group. You know what I'm saying? Than the group that you have. What do you feel like you're ready for next? Like, you're journaling, you're reading, you're listening to sermons.
I'm ready to just to understand it and quit still having the doubt of, is this real?
What kind of doubts? Do you have something specific or just, is God real?
Yeah, it's just, is God real? With, like I said, if you're doing it on your own, you don't have anybody to ask the questions to that have been in this journey for a long time.
Yeah. And I understand that, that God works through people and you can ask people, but ask God those things.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. True.
You know?
And I do. And then when I don't believe that it's happening, then something good will happen. I'm like, well, he was listening.
That's,
Yeah. So it's just the fact of not letting the devil try to pull me back to not believing in Jesus.
That's true. And he will.
Yeah.
He'll come along and knock at your door and say, hey, come back to this side.
Yeah, because when I wasn't on this journey, I never thought about the devil and I never thought about Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And now that's all I ever think about.
Yeah. So when you, have you noticed that you're praying over before you make decisions, or do you notice that?
Yeah, because I, you know, I've been wanting to start this online men's clothing business for a while.
Okay.
And I tried it a while back. And it, I got on the internet. It just got really confusing.
Mm-hmm.
So one day I was just laying in bed. It was a Saturday. And I thought, you know what? I'm going to get up. And I went straight to the computer and it all fell into place. There was no confusion. I got my tax ID. And I walked away going, I know God had something to do with that.
Yep.
Because before I was frustrated and confused. And it just, everything fell into place.
Well, that is true how things like that work out. And I know I've seen that in my life where, I mean, this podcast fell in my lap. I mean, that when things like that fall in your lap, you know, when you get the door wide open, you know that God's saying, step forward.
Yeah.
So the fact that it was easy and that, you know, so where are you with that?
I'm actually going to market next week.
Okay.
Go find some manufacturers and I guess distributors, you would call them.
Yeah.
To start buying my product.
Cool.
Yeah.
How did that even come about?
Well, I've always, you know, everybody's always like, Donna, you're so fashionable. Why don't you do this? I'd buy from you. And I just decided I want to do a men's line because the women's market is so saturated.
Yeah.
I thought it'd be fun to do the men's.
Men need more help with their fashion.
And yeah. And then the women would buy.
I know, because I shop for my husband. Yeah. See?
Yeah. So that's a positive part. And then the other one was my dad went into the hospital in January. And my sister called Susan, my older sister. I don't know if you know her, but she said, you need to get to the hospital. They say it's bad.
Yeah.
And I'm driving there, and I'm like, he's fine. I just knew there was the most calming peace.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, he's fine.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing. He's not dying tonight.
Yep.
So I get there, and what? He's wide awake, and I'm going into surgery, and, you know, now he's had a tough road, but he's doing really good. And so that's just another example of, I know it's there. I know he's there.
Yeah.
I want the full heartedness of peace.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't have that yet. And I don't know, there's something still there holding back.
Okay.
And I don't know what it is.
I don't know how to tell you how to get to that place other than asking. Sometimes when I'm listening to praise and worship music, just even on my phone, you know, the song Oceans, do you know that one by, Hillsong United? Hillsong's a church in, Australia, and it's like an 8 or 9 minute song. But sometimes when I feel like I just need to get into that moment, that meditative moment of feeling like I'm connecting with God, I'll play that song. And there's a lot of other songs too, but that's one of my favorites. That I can just, I mean, I've cried through the whole song. And sometimes if I'm not through crying, I play it again and I keep going and continue to just to pray and try to be open to what it is. And I think just crying through, whether your tears and just continuing to ask, God, I want to know you more. I want to feel your presence. I mean, those are just some things that I do that I could just share that, you know, something that you could try.
Yeah. And I think I need to start hanging out with some different people. I've been so alone for 3 years.
Yeah.
You know, just sitting in my bedroom, or like I said before, it was drinking, and you wouldn't have a meaningful conversation with anybody when you're when you're drinking. You just drink and have fun. But I've been for the last 18 months just alone.
Well, I'm even surprised that you're able to be around some of those same friends and not drink, and they're drinking. I don't know how you do it, really, because then you get around, like, people repeating themselves, and you're sitting there thinking, I really wanted to go to bed at 9 o'clock, and they're still opening more bottles.
Yes. Let me tell you, I don't do it very often.
Yeah.
I have to do it tonight, and I've been having some anxiety over it. It seems like every time it's time to go out, I do get a little anxious, and I'm not worried that I'm going to drink.
Yeah.
That's not my issue.
Yeah.
It's just being uncomfortable.
I need creativity. I need someone to handle it all. Do you know an expert that can help me?
AGirlForThat.com.
Event planning?
AGirlForThat.com.
Branding our family vacation?
AGirlForThat.com.
Work with my budget?
AGirlForThat.com.
Meet the deadlines?
AGirlForThat.com.
Ideas that will blow everybody away?
AGirlForThat.com.
Hi, I'm Jenny, founder of The Girl For That. Our thorough and exclusive event planning, vacation branding, and decorating services bring sophistication and excitement to any project. Here at The Girl For That, we pride ourselves on providing expert guidance throughout the whole planning process, and we don't stop until our clients are 100% happy with the finished look. We believe the little things make the biggest difference, and that outstanding events and branding are possible no matter the budget. Visit us on Instagram at The Girl For That or online at TheGirlForThat.com. You'll be a huge success because you know The Girl For That.
Well, and like you said, I mean, I know what that's like if you're going to have dinner or say you're having drinks, because I think I was sharing with you, you know, it's nothing bad. I don't want to say anything about any specific person or group of people, but I'll just say sometimes you've had dinner and I don't want to sit around for, you know, 2 or 3 hours just ordering more drinks and more drinks just to what? Stay, have a lot of drinks, stay up late. Yeah, you're going to laugh and have some fun, But is that really fun?
No.
Because in my eyes, when I've noticed that, and then I've just removed myself from the situation, and I've told my husband, I said, you know, because there was a time a few years ago when we were in a new area, and I was like, there's no purpose in it. And again, it's not a judgment on anybody. It's really not. It's just me looking at my life and where I am and thinking.
You're different.
I'm wondering where the purpose is. Is anybody volunteering? And maybe they are. I don't know, yeah. You know. But just that staying up and doing, to me, it just seemed like a waste
journey.
Of time.
Yeah.
Yes, a different journey. And it felt like a waste of time.
Yeah. I don't want to go sit in a bar restaurant anymore.
Yeah.
That's boring.
Mm-hmm.
The bartenders are your friends.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, my son said, Mom, there's bartenders all over Fort Worth going, oh my gosh, I need to make a car payment. Where are the Smiths? Because they're wanting their tip since we quit going, you know? Yeah. I'm like, we put a lot of bartenders probably in the poorhouse.
Oh no.
Because it was a lot.
Yeah.
It was a lot. My husband's been really supportive. He gets frustrated sometimes because I don't want to go.
Mm-hmm.
But he's cut back,
mm-hmm.
but he doesn't have an issue with it.
Does he not understand? I mean, does he understand? Or
I think he did for a while. I think now he's just like, it's time to move on, like to having a social life and a life again.
Mm-hmm. Well, but you know what? I was going to say something else. Not only finding, and this is just me. This is my opinion, and I tell everyone this. I've told lots of people this, that you know what? Finding a church home, just because I know what it's meant to me.
Yeah.
Not only that, but serving. The second you start, which is AKA another word for volunteering. Some people are like, what do you mean a serving? You're serving, you're volunteering, but you're serving God. You're serving the Lord. And really what happens is, I'll tell you about this. So at one of the hardest times of my life financially, it was 2008. It was just a horrible time in my life emotionally. It was tough. Erica Lane and I had moved away to the Hamptons. We came back. And I was in Dallas, and I didn't want to be in Dallas. I didn't. It reminded me of failure and sadness, and I didn't want to be here. But, you know, we got back into our church that we had belonged to for many years, and we just poured ourselves into Erica Lane, and I always served together. And, you know, when she was littler, we would serve. I just made it to where we could do it together since I was a single mom. But when you feel bad about yourself, the best thing you can do is go help someone else.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you, all of a sudden, you forget about your problems, and God takes care of you. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You think you've got the problems, and we all do. I mean, we have things, and I'm not trying to make light of it. But you forget about them. God takes care of those, and you're helping serving other people. And you're uplifted like no other. I mean,
yeah,
it is a great thing. So if you don't serve, or you never have you?
I'm sure
you
volunteer. Yeah, I do. And like I said, being in the industry that I'm in.
Have you ever served in a church? Like volunteered?
No.
I'll just encourage you for that because I know what it'll bring you. I know you're looking for that next step. Where is this going to come from? And I just know just being around like-minded people.
Yeah.
And you know, then you're going to meet new friends that you're not going to go out and just people are going to want to sit at the bar. You're going to find other things to do.
Yeah. I've also got something out of this, you know, with my dad making it because I do know that God was there because he wasn't ready to go.
Yeah.
I am going to start an organization to help the senior community that are getting taken for everything, their money. They don't know the questions to ask when they go in the hospital. They just do exactly what they tell them to do.
Yeah.
And my dad almost died in the hospital of unnecessary reasons. It had nothing to do with his sickness.
Yeah.
They had him on a vent. Because it was COVID. He didn't even have COVID. They had him on the vent. It wasn't even turned on. It was just down his throat they got $100,000 a day for it. They had him on restraints because they said he was combative. And I'm like, I don't know how he's combative when he's knocked out. And with me being in the health industry, I knew what to say to him and things got done.
Yeah.
So I am starting an organization.
I was going to say, maybe that's your calling.
It is. And I'm going to meet with some churches to do some health talks. And, you know, I've got an attorney involved that can answer the legal questions.
Yeah.
I'm bringing on board an RN, a doctor, and, you know, just different people for different situations.
Yeah.
Because I don't want all health talks to be the same, but yeah. I think that was my calling too, for this to happen.
Yeah.
So I'm really excited about that.
Well, not that I'm not excited about your men's fashion, but this really just, yeah. I mean, spoke to me because my dad was 89 when he passed away this last year. And I mean, he had something weird happen that, I mean, I'm all for that.
Yeah.
I mean, he had a knee surgery and the people didn't have his fluids going all night. It was clamped off. It looked like it was going. Yep. And he got dehydrated and was stuck with, you know, there he went into full blown, you know, he had Lewy bodies after, but it was horrible. The most horrible. And I know things can happen in through hospitals, but
they're happening way too much.
Right.
And Erica, to be honest with you, if they would have told your dad to hop across the room on his bad leg, mm-hmm. he would have,
mm-hmm.
because he trusts
yeah.
that they're telling him what to
That's
do is
analogy.
Correct.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you, I called the head person at the hospital
mm-hmm.
and I said, I want the restraints off of my dad. You know it. And I know that's illegal, that's inhumane, and I want it taken care of.
Yeah.
And let me tell you, those restraints were off.
Yeah.
Because they knew that I knew what I was talking about. So hopefully I can get this organization up and going to where there's a lifeline that they can reach out and call.
Yeah.
And just to educate not only the seniors, but their families. When their loved one's in a hospital, that they can say, hey, I know this organization, I can call, and I'm not happy with this situation. What do I do? So
I think yeah. there's definitely a need for that. And like you're saying, they take everything from them. I mean, it's just sad. There's
really
a need
is.
For that for sure. And I think you picked up a lot of heart and passion when you started talking about it too.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. I think it's there for me.
Mm-hmm. For sure. And I think as you continue to grow in your faith and grow in your relationship and those ways, I think all those other doors will open up as well, don't you?
I do. And thank you so much for just being there. You came into my life for a reason, you know?
We hadn't talked in, you know, a while, and then there was something that...
Yeah, and we've always been friends, but we've never been close mm-hmm. or really sat down and had a mm-hmm. deep conversation.
Yeah.
Because usually I was with a group of people that were drinking. But, yeah, you've really... help me. And I feel like that I can pick up the phone anytime and call you, and you're very knowledgeable and just have just been there for me.
I don't know how knowledgeable. I just know I've had a lot of experience
well,
and like, things, but I can love on you for sure.
For sure. And like you asking me to do this today, I was supposed to go meet a friend and go sit in a bar and mm-hmm. watch him drink and nothing positive come out of it.
Mm.
Yeah, so it happens for a reason.
All happens for a reason.
Exactly,
wow.
Exactly. If I could just keep that in my mind now that he is listening and quit doubting, but, and you know, just tell the devil, like everybody says, get away, get out.
Yep.
Leave me alone. I've got Jesus now.
And it works, and it's as simple as that. That's the thing.
Yeah.
I've said that to people for years. Just say, devil be gone. Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior. And I've had people come back to me and say, because I feel almost elementary saying it because it sounds so simple,
uh-huh.
but they'll come back to me and go, it works.
Yeah.
I'm like, it does. Like, I'm just telling you, speaking from experience, that's it.
Yeah.
It's simple. It's for anyone to learn, and that's all you have to do. And you know, the devil will flee.
I know. I told him the other day, I said, get out. You don't have power over me.
That's right.
Jesus does. Leave me alone. I'm tired. Get away.
Yeah, that's true. It works.
Yeah.
And just like, yeah.
Like perfect. I said, I've had a really good, I'm going to say the four months that I've been struggling still are better than the 15 months prior.
Oh, yeah.
So there is the light at the end of this tunnel.
There is. And keep looking up to him and keep doing everything you're doing. And you're going to continue to just be wowed every day by his presence in your life and the things happening. I'm proud of you.
Thank you.
Told you that yesterday. I said, wow, all this stuff that you've done, I'm so proud of you. But don't think you have to do it all on your own. Look to him and ask God for his help.
Absolutely.
We're not supposed to do it all on our own.
Yeah.
Don't let the pride get in the way, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Think that you have to be at the strong one all the time.
Exactly. Wow. Exactly.
Well, thank you for coming by here today.
Thank you for having me.
Love you, and I appreciate you being here. And thanks to all of our listeners who remind me daily through text, emails, and phone calls about listening to the podcast has impacted their lives. It is truly a blessing to be a part of this project, and a special thanks to my producer, Rob Price, who makes it all happen. If you would like to be considered as a guest on our show, please email me at ericaseemeyer@gmail.com or message me on social media at Erica Seemeyer Williamson. For more information on the upcoming retreat schedule, check out AmazingGraceRetreats.com in the show notes, and I'll look forward to meeting you at our next getaway. And last but not least, we would be so honored if you would write a good review, subscribe to the show, and share this podcast on your social media. Thanks, everyone, and we'll see you next time on Amazing Grace Talk.